هكذا، تفعلون هكذا، أي تعضون على الأمر الأول بالنواجذ وتتمسكون بأيديكم لئلا يتفلت منكم، لئلا يتفلت منكم. كيف يتفلت منا؟ لأننا في أيام الصبر. انظروا إلى قول نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن من ورائكم أيام الصبر، القابض فيهن على دينه، أي العاض على السنة، العاض على منهج الصحابة، كالقابض على الجمر للعامل فيهن أجر 50. قالوا: منا أو منهم يا رسول الله؟ قال: بل منكم. قال: بل منكم. إذن المخرج من الفتنة هو الرجوع إلى منهج السلف، إلى ما كان عليه رسول الله، إلى ما كان عليه أبو بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم أجمعين.
And Shaykhun, am I mentioning that ninthly, the ninth thing that we're going to discuss and the final thing is what therefore is the makhraj from the fitan, or the escape from the fitan. He said the makhraj, or the place of escape, is the manhaj of the salaf. The makhraj is the manhaj of the salaf. And he said the proofs of that are two proofs. Firstly, the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah, which is a popular hadith, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and Irbad mentioned, that the Messenger mentioned the ikhtilaf and the ittiraf, or the splitting and dividing. And he mentioned in it, alayhi salatu wasalam, alaykum bi sunnati, but cling to my sunnah, and the sunnah of the khulafa al-rashideen al-mahdiin min ba'di, and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen that come after me. Cling to that with your mawla teeth, and be aware of the newly innovated affairs, because verily every newly innovated affair is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is in the fire. Every bid'ah is a dalala. So he mentioned in this hadith, we have an explanation of the fact that the makhraj, or the way out from the ikhtilaf, is his sunnah, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the way out from the ikhtilaf is the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. So he mentioned here that it should be brought to our attention that the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen is the same as the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen is the same as the sunnah of the Messenger. Because here in this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu, if it was different, if there were two different sunnahs, then the Messenger would have said, عَضُّ عَلَيْهِمَا, that cling unto the two of them, hold on to the two of them. But rather the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, cling unto it, cling unto it. So he's indicating here, the Shaykh is indicating, that the sunnah of the Messenger is the same as the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, and which is the sunnah of the Sahaba. So that which was said in their time, it is upon us to say in our time. So he said, secondly, is the hadith of Abi Waqid al-Laythi, which is sahih, and it is gharib.
Gharib is not the
hadith al-qillah, if you
want.
Aywa.
So he said it is a hadith which is gharib, and gharib is gharib can carry the meaning that is gharib by way of its chain of narration, which is usually a weak hadith, or it can carry the meaning that it's strange in its meaning. So the Shaykh is mentioning here that it's gharib meaning in its meaning, that it carries a peculiar meaning. And that is the statement of the Sahaba Abi Waqid, who mentioned that we were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala al-bisat. Which is like the mat, or like a mat, or like a similar to a prayer mat. So he mentioned in regards to when they were sitting upon this particular mat, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that verily there is going to be fitna. There is going to come to you fitna. And he held unto the ends of the mat. And when the Sahaba asked, what therefore is the escape from this fitna that is going to occur? He said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum, or cling to the first affair. Cling to the first affair. So here he is mentioning that on an occasion, Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal was with some of the Sahaba, and he mentioned, did you not hear the statement of the Messenger that there is going to be fitna? And he said, and they said,
لا تسمعون ما يقول النبي فقالوا ماذا يقول قال ان الناس تكون فتنه قالوا من المخرج قال ترجعون الى املك الاول.
So Mu'adh said to the people, did you not hear what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said? He said, what did he say? He said, verily, there is going to be fitna. So he said, and what should we do? So they said, what should we do? He said, you should go back to your first affair. Go back to your first affair. So the Shaykh is mentioning here, therefore, the escape from this fitna and the escape from all these things which are going to take place by way of ikhtilaf, etc. and so on, is to return back to the first affair. Is to turn back to the first affair. So he said this affair is something which is close to escaping from you. It's something which is close to escaping from you. But it is a must that you hold on to sabr, because in front of you are days of sabr. And in this regard, he mentioned the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verily there are in ahead of you days of sabr, or days of patience. And the one who holds on to his deen in those days is like the one who holds on to coal. The one who holds on to his deen is as the one who holds on to coal. And in one version of the hadith it mentions that the one who holds on to his deen will receive the reward of 50 of you. So the Sahaba mentioned 50, as 50 of us, or 50 of them, 50 of them at that time. He said, rather 50 of you, the Sahaba. So he said the makhraj therefore is to hold on to the way of the manhaj, or hold on to the manhaj of the salaf.
أما النقطة الأخيرة في هذه المحاضرة التي أرجو الله أن ينفعني وإياكم بها هي أن الدعوة السلفية أو المنهج السلف هو الذي له المستقبل بإذن الله، وهذا ليس اجتهادا مني بل نصا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأفصل هذه النقطة في نقاط. النقطة الأولى أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بيّن في أحاديث كثيرة أن المستقبل للإسلام، فمنها حديث ثوبان، إن الله زوالي الأرض فرأيت مشارقها ومغاربها وإن ملك أمتي سيبلغ ما زوي لي منها وأعطيت الكنزين الأحمر والأبيض. ومنها حديث تميم رضي الله عنه، سيبلغ هذا الدين ما بلغ الليل والنهار بعز عزيز أو بذل ذليل، عزا يعز الله فيه الإسلام وذلا يذل فيه الكفر وأهله. وهذا شرح من رسول الله لقوله تعالى، هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. إذن لا شك ولا ريب يا أخواني أن المستقبل للإسلام، وأن الدين سيعم الكرة الأرضية مشارقها ومغاربها، لأن الليل والنهار يحيط بالكرة الأرضية، وهذا الدين سيبلغ مبلغ الليل والنهار. إذن ستصبح الكرة الأرضية في يوم من الأيام بلاد إسلام، ولذلك هذه البلاد التي تعيشون فيها ستصبح يوما بإذن الله من بلاد الإسلام، سيفتحها جند الله. إذا ثبت عندنا هذا الأمر النبوي العظيم، فأي المناهج التي ستعيد هذا الأمر؟ ما المنهج الذي ينتصر للإسلام وينصر الإسلام؟ هو منهج السلف الصالح. ما الدليل؟ حديث حذيفة رضي الله عنه في المسند وغيره بإسناد حسن، قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: وأرجو أن تسمعوا هذا الحديث جيدا وتفقهوه جيدا. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: تكون النبوة فيكم ما شاء الله أن تكون، ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء، ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة إلى ما شاء الله أن تكون، ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء، ثم يكون ملكا عضوضا إلى ما شاء الله أن يكون، ثم يرفعه الله إذا شاء، ثم يكون ملكا جبريا إلى ما شاء الله أن يكون، ثم يرفعه الله إذا شاء، ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة، ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة، ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة. ثم سكت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخبر بأن النبوة كانت فيهم وأنها ستذهب، وقد ذهب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن خلافة على منهج النبوة ستكون وقد كانت، وهي خلافة من؟ خلافة أصحاب رسول الله، خلافة أبي بكر، خلافة عمر، خلافة عثمان، خلافة علي، خلافة النبوة التي أقامها أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكانوا على منهج رسول الله. ثم حدث الخلاف فأصبح ملكا عضوضا، أي وراثيا، كما في بني أمية وبني العباس وبني عثمان وغيرهم من ملوك الإسلام، ثم ملكا جبريا قهريا يتسلط على الناس بالصوت والزنزانة. ثم يكون بعد ذلك خلافة على منهاج النبوة. الآن خلافة آخر الزمان هي مستقبل الإسلام، خلافة آخر الزمان على منهاج النبوة تشبه الخلافة التي جاءت بعد النبوة. طيب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غير موجودين في آخر الزمان، فمن الذي يعيد خلافة آخر الزمان التي تشبه خلافة أصحاب رسول الله؟ لا شك أنهم الذين على منهج أصحاب رسول الله، لا شك أنهم على منهج رسول الله، وهذا هو المنهج السلفي. إذن الذي سيعيد خلافة الزمان وآخر الزمان هو المنهج السلفي بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى. وانظروا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا يقول: تقاتلون اليهود، تقاتلون اليهود حتى يختبئ اليهودي وراء الشجر تقاتلون اليهود حتى يختبئ اليهودي وراء الشجر أو الحجر، حتى يقول الشجر أو الحجر: يا مسلم، يا عبد الله، هذا يهودي ورائي، تعال فاقتله، إلا الغرقد فإنه من شجرهم. طيب الخطاب لمن موجه؟ للصحابة. تقاتلون اليهود، هل الصحابة سيكونون في آخر الزمان يقاتلون اليهود؟ كيف يخاطب رسول الصحابة وهم قد ماتوا أو سيموتوا؟ يقول الحافظ ابن حجر: صح الخطاب بذل الصحابة لأن الذين سيأتون سيكونون على منهج الصحابة. إذن المستقبل يا عباد الله يا إخوتي في الله لهذه الدعوة المباركة. إذا صدقنا مع الله، إذا أخلصنا لله، إذا اتبعنا رسول الله، إذا كنا على قلب رجل واحد كقوله تبارك تعالى: ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم. فينبغي أن نرفع شعارا. ما هو هذا الشعار؟ يا سلفي العالم اتحدوا، يا سلفي العالم اعتصموا بحبل الله ولا تتفرقوا، لأن مسؤولية هذه الأمة في أعناقكم سيحاسبكم الله عليها. هل أديتم الأمانة؟ هل كنتم كما أراد الله لكم؟ هذه الأمة تنتظركم يا عباد الله، فهل أنتم ملبون؟ هل أنتم سائرون على منهج أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أرجو الله أن نكون كذلك. نرجو الله أن يختم لنا وإياكم بالموت على هذا المنهج، منهج أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. تفضل.
So the Sheikh mentioned, therefore, in finality, he wants to mention that the da'wah to Salafiyya, the future is going to be for the da'wah to Salafiyya. And he said, this is not something which is from my own ijtihad, but rather this is something which there is text upon it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's going to explain this in a number of points. Firstly, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that the future is going to be for al-Islam. And he mentioned this in the hadith of Thawban, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed to me the earth, and I saw its east and I saw its west. And verily, that which I saw of this earth is going to be for my ummah. So, and that which was displayed to me from that which I saw will be from the mulk of my ummah, or will be in the possession of my ummah. So he said, he went on to mention that the hadith also of Tamim, that this deen shall reach the day and the night has reached. That the deen shall reach that which the day and the night have reached, with the Izz al-Aziz, by the one who is Aziz being raised, by raising those who are Aziz, or by lowering those who are to be lowered. And he said, the Izz, which is given by way of Islam, by way of Iman, and the Zil, and the Zil which is given to the Kuffar. And this is the meaning of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who, it is He who sent the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is He who sent the Messenger. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالحق بالهدى ودين الحق. Who sent His Messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, that it may prevail over all religion, even though the disbelievers detest it. So he said, therefore, this explains to us that the religion is going to, this religion and this ummah is going to possess the whole of the earth. It's going to possess the whole of the earth. And that is because the night and the day is something which encompasses the whole of the earth. And this is the example and the likeness that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the encompassing of this ummah. So this ummah is going to encompass the whole of this earth. And the Shaykh mentioned, even this country, there is going to be a day when this country is going to be possessed by the Muslims and will be a Muslim country, inshallah. So he went on to mention, therefore, what is the manhaj that is going to be victorious in this regard? And what is the manhaj that is going to bring this about? He said, it is nothing other than the manhaj of the Salaf. It is nothing other than the manhaj of the Salaf. And he went on to mention a hadith upon the authority of Hudhayfa, which is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad with Isnad which is Hassan, that the, and he said, listen carefully to this hadith. He wants you to listen very carefully to this hadith. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there is going to be amongst you prophethood, and it is going to remain amongst you until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for it to remain. He said then after this there is going to be the khilafah, and there is going, it is going to remain amongst you as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for it to remain. And then Allah is going to raise it when He wishes to raise it. He said then there is going to be a biting kingship, and it is going to remain amongst you for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for it to remain. Then He will raise it when He wishes to raise it. And He said then there is going to be a compelling kingship, and it is going to remain amongst you for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for it to remain amongst you. He said then there is going to be the khilafah upon the minhaj al-nubuwa, upon the way of the prophethood. Then there is going to be the khilafah upon the way of the prophethood. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. So he's explaining here, the Messenger alayhi salatu salam is explaining here that there is going to be prophethood, and it is going to remain amongst us, then it is going to go. And there is going to be khilafah, and it is going to remain amongst us, then it is going to go. And there is going to be the khilafah that he mentioned was the khilafah, the light of the khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. He said then there is going to be a biting kingship, and he mentioned this is the light of Bani Umayyah and the light. And he said it is going to remain amongst us, then it is going to go. And he said then there is going to be a biting compelling kingship, where there will be much oppression and transgression, and it will remain amongst us for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for it to remain, and then it will go, and then there will be nubuwah. And then there will be nubuwah. So he said this khilafah upon the way of khilafah upon the way of the prophethood, upon the way of the minhaj al-nubuwah. So he said therefore this khilafah is something in that particular time which is going to take place. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resembled that khilafah to the first khilafah. So he said, the first khilafah is the khilafah of the Sahaba. And the Sahaba now are not present. So he said, therefore, without a doubt, those who are going to be upon the khilafah, which resembles the khilafah of the Sahaba, they are those who are upon the manhaj of the Salaf. They are upon, those who are upon the Salafi manhaj. So he said the mustaqbal or the future therefore is going to be for the manhaj al-Salafi. That the future is going to be for the manhaj al-Salafi. And he mentioned in this regard the hadith where the Yahud will be fought. And when they are going to be fought, and we know the hadith, they are going to try and hide behind rocks and trees. And the rocks and the trees will say, "Oh Muslim, oh Abdullah, verily there is a Yahudi behind me, come and kill him." So he said, who therefore, so he said Ibn Umar mentioned in regards to those who resembled, mentioned in regards to those who will come, he said those who will resemble the Sahaba in this regard are going to be those upon the way of the Sahaba. They are going to be those upon the way of the Sahaba. So he said, therefore the future is going to be for this manhaj. That the future is going to be for this manhaj. And if the future is going to be for this manhaj, it is a must that the individuals who are holding this manhaj, that we raise one shi'ar, or that we raise one banner if you like. And that is that the Salafis should come together. That the Salafis should be at one. That this should be the banner of the Salafiyun, that we should be at one. And therefore, for us to be at one, we should be at one so we can aid each other in this regard. And so that we can raise, therefore, the flag of the Manhaj al-Salafi. And he hopes, in finality, that we are individuals who die upon this Manhaj. And he says that he hopes that we die upon this Manhaj and are from those do we naturalize these ahadith and that which was mentioned in this particular dars? Wallah, wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh Salim, Brother Bilal. We're going to take some questions now, inshallah. There's quite a few here. And there and after I'll explain what's going to be the program. We're running a bit behind, but I think everyone would say it's prudent that this talk went on for as long as it did, inshallah. Those who were coming for the counselling session with Sheikh Ali, which was to be between 4 and 6 today, that has been moved back to 5 o'clock, inshallah. And the next lecture with Sheikh Muhammad is going to be moved back, inshallah, to 4:15 thereabouts, enabling you all to have a break. Bismillah. Or later, if the questions go on a little later.
So the first question is that many of the people say that the Salaf refers to the first three generations, but not to us. They were the Salaf, but we are neither the Sahaba, nor are we the Tabi'een, nor are we the Atba' al-Tabi'un. But rather we are the Khalaf, or those who came later. So what do you say, that we are the Salaf? So what do you say, that we are not Salaf, but Khalaf? Can we be Salaf and Khalaf at the same time?
بالنسبة لهذا السؤال، نعم، السلف الصالح هم الصحابة والتابعون وأتباع التابعين، ونحن لا نقول عن أنفسنا نحن السلف، نحن السلفيون، ومفردها سلفي، وفي آخرها ياء النسبة، ياء النسبة، أي نحن ننتسب إلى السلف، لا نقول نحن السلف، نحن ننتسب إلى السلف، لأننا بإذن الله على منهجهم وعلى طريقهم وعلى سنتهم، فالانتساب غير المنسوب إليه في اللغة العربية. واضح؟
So the Sheikh says yes in regards to this particular question. This is correct that the Salaf, they are the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'un. He said, but we don't say, as for us, we're not saying that we are the Salaf. We're not saying we are the Salaf, but rather we are the Salafiyun, or those who are attribute ourselves to this way. And this Ya is just known as the Ya and Nisbah, or the Ya of attribution, that we attribute ourselves to that, and we don't say that we are that. So he said that the ulama mentioned that which attributes itself to something is other than the thing which it attributes itself to. So we are Salafis, meaning that we attribute ourselves to that, to the Salaf, not that we in and of ourselves are the Salaf. No. Question was, if a person, while reading the books of the earlier scholars of the Salaf, like Ibn Taymiyyah, finds something that he feels is different to that which is practiced by the Salafi scholars of today, should he stick to the evidence he has read or stick to the behavior of the temporary scholars?
بالنسبة لهذا السؤال، يقول السائل أنه قرأ في كتب السلف أشياء، وأن هل نفعل بها أو نفعل بأقوال علماء السلف في العصر الحاضر إذا خالفوها؟ نحن نقول أولا إذا رأيت في نظرك مخالفة من علماء السلف في هذا العصر فينبغي قبل أن تتهمهم بالمخالفة أن تسألهم عن عملهم هذا، لعلهم يكونوا أفهم منك بمقصود السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم. فقبل أن نتهم العلماء بالخطأ نتبين أقوالهم، نتبين أفعالهم، ولعلهم يرشدون إلى دلالة فعلهم أو دلالة قولهم، ولا نتهمهم بأنهم يخالفون السلف. فإذا كان العلماء يخالفون السلف فهل يوافق السلف الذين هم ليسوا بعلماء؟ إذن يا إخواني قبل أن نتهم علماءنا بالمخالفة علينا أول شيء نتهم أنفسنا بتقصير في الفهم، ثم نسأل علماءنا عن أدلتهم وعن وجه دلالتهم، وهم أدرى وهم أولى ببيان وجه ذلك لنا. فإذا رأينا من أحدهم مخالفة صريحة لما جاء في كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعندئذ نتبع الكتاب ونتبع السنة ونتبع منهج السلف الصالح ونعذر هذا العالم ونقول أنه مأجور على اجتهاده، ولكن لا نقع في عرضه أو نطعن فيه.
So the Sheikh is mentioning pertaining to this particular question. He said, if we see that which opposes or that which appears to oppose the way of the Salaf from our ulama by way of action, he said, the first thing that we should do is that we should ask this particular scholar concerning his action, because it is a possibility, there's a chance that his action, the action that he did it based upon his understanding of what he understood from the actions of the Salaf. And they have more understanding of the actions of the Salaf than we do. So the first thing for us to do is approach him and ask him concerning his action and why has he acted in this particular way, so that he can guide you and indicate to you his understanding of these particular instances. So he mentioned that if after asking him we find that there seems to be some mukhalafa or some opposition, then in that case we follow the book and we follow the sunnah and we follow that which the sahaba, the salaf were upon. But the first thing for us to do is to approach the sheikh and ask the sheikh concerning his action, that it seems to be in opposition to that which the salaf were upon, and could you clarify your the angle or your understanding in that regard. The question is, what is the meaning of the hadith, if the affair goes to other than its people, then wait for the hour, and who is the narrator of this particular hadith?
هذا الحديث خرجه الإمام البخاري في كتاب العلم من صحيح، وأن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال متى الساعة؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهل فانتظر الساعة، وفي رواية إذا أسند الأمر إلى غير أهل فانتظر الساعة. معنى هذا الحديث إذا وضع الأمر في غير محله فهذا من علامات الساعة التي فيها اختلال القيم وانقلاب الموازين. وهذا الحديث يفسر بأحاديث أخرى مثل حديث أنس رضي الله عنه إن بين يدي الساعة أو بين يدي الدجال سنوات خدعات يصدق فيها الكاذب ويكذب فيها الصادق ويؤتمن فيها الخائن. وهنا توضع الأمانة في غير محلها، توضع مع الخائن ليس مع الأمين، يؤتمن الخائن ويخون الأمين وينطق الناس بالرويبضة. قالوا من الرويبضة يا رسول الله؟ قال الرجل التافه أو الرجل الفاسق يتكلم في أمر العامة، يتكلم في أمر العامة. وهذا هو معنى الحديث، أن الأمانة توضع في يد الخوانة وهم ليسوا أهلا لها، ويتهم الأمناء بالخيانة وهم براء منها والله أعلم.
So the Sheikh mentioned concerning this particular hadith, and it was a hadith which was collected by Imam Bukhari in his book in his Sahih in Kitab al-Ilm, and he said it was a hadith in which a individual and it was upon the authority of Abu Hurairah. And it was concerning a man approaching the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asking him when is the hour. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied in this particular hadith. And he said, so this hadith is explained by another hadith which he's mentioning in regards to the statement إِذَا وُسِدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, or when the affair goes to other than its people. He said that if the affairs are put in the hands of individuals who are not competent for dealing with those affairs. And he said this is something which is explained in another hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said
يصدق فيها الكاذب ويكذب فيها الصادق ويؤتمن الصائم ويخون الأمين وينطق الناس الروايبضة قيل من الروايبضة قال غدر التافه أو الفاسق تكلم في أمرها.
So he said, this is explained by another hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily in front of you are years of khada'a, or years of deceit or deception. He said, in these particular years the truthful one will be a liar, and the one who is a liar will be held as a truthful person, and the one who is trustworthy will be held to be an individual who is not trustworthy, and the individuals who are not trustworthy will be held as individuals who are trustworthy, and the ruwaybida will speak. So when asked who are the ruwaybida, he mentioned the person rajul al-tafi, or the person who is a fasiq, who speaks in the general affairs. So he said, therefore, the meaning of this hadith is that when individuals who are not competent for certain places are put into positions that they're not competent for, then this is the affairs going to other than its people. Question is, does one who does ta'awun or cooperates with the groups go out of does he leave the da'wah salafiyya, and what does Sheikh al-Albani say in that regard?
بالنسبة للتعاون مع الجماعات والجمعيات وغيرها فنحن نحض على التعاون مع المسلمين جميعا ونقول للمسلمين جميعا وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. لكن أقول هذه الجمعيات والجماعات هل هي سنية أم حزبية؟ حزبية. الآن هل حزبية بر وتقوى ولا إثم وعدوان؟ إثم وعدوان، لأن الله أمر بمخالفتها وتركها. إذن هل يجوز أن نقول وتعاونوا مع الحزبيين؟ لا يجوز أن نقول تعاونوا مع الحزبيين حتى يترك الحزبيون حزبيتهم. إذا تركت هذه الجمعيات وهذه الجماعات حزبيتها وكانوا حزبا واحدا وأمة واحدة فنحن أول المتعاونين معهم. هم الآن يريدون أن نتعاون معهم، بمعنى جماعات أخرى كلها تقول السلفيون لا يتعاونون مع الجماعة، هل هي تتعاون معنا؟ نحن نتعاون مع أهل الكتاب يا أخوان. كيف؟ الله تبارك وتعالى يقول يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء، فنحن مستعدون أن نتعاون مع أهل الكتاب بأن يتركوا شركهم وزندقتهم ويصبحوا مسلمين فنكون معهم إخوان. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء، ألا نعبد إلا الله. ونحن نقول هذه الحزبيين والحزبيات تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء، أن نكون أخوة متحابين في الله، أخوة متعاونين على دين الله، لا يفرقنا أحد ولا يشمت فينا عدو، وأن نتبع منهج صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن نوقر العلماء، وأن نكون يدا واحدة. فهل يقبلون؟ إذا قبلوا فنحن مستعدون. أما رأي شيخنا الألباني فهو ما ذكرته، التعاون مع الجمعيات الحزبية والجماعات الحزبية يكون بشرطين: الشرط الأول أن تترك حزبيتها، الشرط الثاني أن تتبع منهج السلف الصالح. تفضل.
The Sheikh is mentioning concerning this question, that we are from the individuals who are encouraged working between the Muslims. We encourage this greatly. So he mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى, and vie and cooperate with each other upon righteousness and upon taqwa. So he said, so we ask a question, these groups, are they Sunni or are they Bid'i? These groups, are they Sunni or are they Bid'i? And are they upon ithm or are they upon udwan? Are they Sunni or Bid'i? He said, without a doubt, they are Bid'i. And he said, therefore, if they're Bid'i, then it is not birr, neither is it taqwa, rather it is ithm and udwan. So therefore, do we say then that it is permissible for us to vie with them? No, we say it's not permissible for us to vie with them because they are upon ism and udwan. So he mentioned, therefore, if the hizbi is, if the hizbiyun, if they leave that which they are upon by way of hizbi and the like, then we're willing to work with them. So he said also that the people say that the salafiyun don't work with the hizbiyun. So we, it is for us to now ask, do the hizbiyun ta'awan, make ta'awan with the salafiyun? Because the salafiyun, even in regards to the people of the book, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh people of the book, let us come together upon one word, that we don't worship other than Allah, etc. and so on. So if this is the case with the people of the book, then in regards to the people of Hizbiyah, then we make the same claim, oh people of Hizbiyah, come, let's come to a kalimatin sawa, let's come to a word which is together, that we are brothers together, and that we have the wala and bara, the correct wala and bara, and that we don't make disparaging remarks concerning the ulama and fall into defaming them, etc. and so on. And if they leave their hizbiya and come to that which we have laid down for them, then we will work with them in that regard, then they are our brothers. So he said, in regards to the statement of Sheikh Al-Albani, he said, the position of Sheikh Al-Albani is my position. And that is that ta'awun is upon with two conditions. Ta'awun with the Hizbi groups is upon two conditions. And the first condition is that the Hizbi groups leave their Hizbiyah. And the second condition is that they follow the manhaj of the Salaf. The question is, if these Hizbi groups have the likes of Sheikh bin Baz upon a phone link, should we go and should we attend?
هذا السؤال يؤخذ من وجهين. السؤال الأول, هل أنتم تستطيعون الاتصال بالشيخ بن باز أو لا تستطيعون؟ الأمر الثاني, هل هذا الاتصال مشروط؟ يعني حضور هذا الاتصال مشروط أو غير مشروط؟ فإذا كان مثلا المراكز السلفية غير الحزبية تستطيع أن تعمل محاضرة مع الشيخ بن باز, فما الداعي لأن نذهب إلى مراكز الحزبيين الذين يتصلون بالشيخ بن باز حفظه الله ويتخذوا هذا الاتصال صيدا ليصيدوا الشباب ويوقعوهم في الحزبية؟ فنحن نقوم بما يقوم به, وما في داعي نذهب إلى مراكزهم الحزبية ونسمع فتاوى علمائنا, بل أولى الناس بالاتصال بالشيخ بن باز والشيخ بن عثيمين والشيخ الألباني, نسأل الله أن يعافيه ويشفيه وأن يقدر على ذلك, والعلماء الآخرون هم أنتم. أنتم يجب أن يكون لكم اتصال بهؤلاء العلماء, وأنتم تدعونهم وليس يدعونكم, أنتم الذي يجب أن تبادرون بذلك. وإن لم تستطيعوا الاتصال فأنا أنصح بعدم الذهاب, ليس لعدم سماع علمائنا, لأن هذه الأوكار الحزبية تتسلق على أكتاف العلماء وتوقع الشباب في حزبيتهم من حيث لا يشعر. تفضل.
So So he mentions concerning this question. This question we're going to deal with it in two parts. He said, firstly, we should ask: are the individuals who are asking this question, or are the Salafis able to set up these types of telephone link-ups themselves? Are the Salafi brothers able to set up these telephone link-ups themselves with the likes of Sheikh Mimbaz or Ibn Uthaymeen or Sheikh Al-Albani? And secondly, does attending these lectures have conditions to it? He said, in regards to dealing or laying out these muhavarat or these lectures by way of the telephone link-ups, satellite link-ups, if we're able to do them ourselves, then we as Salafiyun are the first of the people that should be doing this, and we have more right to the likes of Sheikh Mimbaz and the likes of Sheikh Al-Albani and the likes of Ibn Uthaymeen. So if we are able to do it, then we should be the first of the people to do it. Not that they call us, but we call them and we try and organize this ourselves, so that we won't have to go to the likes of the Hizbi people who organize these types of lectures. And secondly, if we're not able to do this, the Sheikh is saying, then my advice is for you not to go. Then my advice is for you not to go. Not because he's warning against the ulama, or he doesn't want you to listen to the kalam of our scholars, but rather he fears for you that this hizbiya may overcome you by your attending and being in their midst, may overcome you and may get the better of you. So the Sheikh said, and secondly, it's that you shouldn't. He advises you not to go.
هناك نصيحة أخرى هو أن الأخوة الذين يعرفون أن هذه المراكز حزبية يتأكدون منها أنها حزبية ينبغي أن يتصلوا بالمشايخ ويحذرونهم منهم، لأن المشايخ لا يعلمون الغيب. يتصل أحد من بريطانيا أو من أمريكا أو من أي دولة أخرى بالشيخ مثلا ابن باز فيقول نعم المحاضرة، يجيب لأنه هذا من باب الدعوة، لكنه لا يعرف حقيقة هذا الاتصال وأن هناك مركزا حزبيا سيجير هذا الاتصال نحو حزبيته ويصطاد الشباب الغافل، الشباب الذي لا يعرف حقيقة الحزبين. هذا واجب أن يبين لأهل العلم واقع هذه المراكز الحزبية التي أنتم تعرفونها أكثر من المشايخ لأنكم تعيشون في البلاد.
So he said that there's another additional piece of information to the last question, and that is that as for the brothers who know and are certain concerning these organizations and these places of Hizbiya, and that these places which are run by the Hizbiyun, that if you know for a certainty that these places are places which are run by the Hizbiyun and they're making these ittisalat or these satellite link-ups and the like, then it is upon the brothers to get in contact with the mashayikh and inform the mashayikh of exactly what is taking place here and the fact that they are using them for their own means, and inform them, because the sheikhs, the mashayikh, don't know the unseen. So it is important for the brothers who know the situation in regards to them to get in contact with these mashayikh and inform them and warn them against exactly that which is taking place in regards to the telephone link up.
These are going to be the last two questions, inshallah.
The question seems to be saying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is it permissible to expose those who are, you know, individuals who are upon deviancy but are not involved in giving da'wah? They don't call to their deviancy. and is the exposing of a person left to the ulama, or can just the general, the shabab, or the students of knowledge expose these individuals?
بالنسبة للمبتدع إما أن يكون مبتدعا في نفسه وغير داعي إلى بدعته أو داعي إلى بدعته. إذا كان المبتدع غير داعي إلى بدعته فهذا يناصح ويدعى إلى الكتاب والسنة وفهم السلف الصالح. يعني على طلاب العلم والعلماء أن ينصحوا له ويبينوا له وجه البدعة وأن يدعوه إلى الكتاب والسنة وفهم السلف الصالح. وأما إذا كان داعي إلى بدعته فهذا يحذر من شره، يحذر من شره وينبه على خطره، لأن الداعي إلى البدعة هو داعي على سبيل الشيطان، على رأس كل سبيل شيطان يدعو له، فالنبي ذكرهم للتحذير منهم. وأما المبتدع الغير داعية فلا يؤخذ العلم عنه، فلا يؤخذ العلم عنه، أي لا يذهب إليه لتلقي العلم عنه، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من أشراط الساعة أن يلتمس العلم عند الأصاغر. قال ابن مبارك هم أهل الأهواء البدع، هو هذا من باب التحذير، أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحذرنا. وكما تعلمون قول ابن سيرين إن هذا العلم دين، فانظروا عمن تأخذوا دينكم، فانظروا عمن تأخذوا دينكم، لأن المبتدع وإن لم يكن داعية فالطالب يتأثر بشيخه دائما، التلميذ يتأثر بشيخه، وهذا لذلك نهى السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم عن أخذ العلم عن أهل البدع وإن لم يكونوا دعاة إلى بدعتهم. نعم.
So the Sheikh is mentioning that the مبتدع is one of two people. He's either a مبتدع and he's not calling to his بدعة, or he is a مبتدع who is calling to his بدعة. He said in regards to the individual who is a مبتدع and is not calling to his bid'ah, then this type of individual should be sat down and should be advised and should be taught and educated concerning the manhaj of the salaf, either from the ulama or from the brothers who are able to give him the advice and explain this to him. But he said as for the mubtadi' who is a da'iyah or is a caller to his bid'ah, then it is upon the individuals to warn against this individual. Then the individual should be warned against. Because he enters into the hadith and the athar that mention concerning the callers to the bid'ah, and like the hadith that was mentioned earlier in the lecture. So he mentioned also that the person who is a caller, not a caller but is a mubtadi', then ilm should not be taken from him. One should not take ilm from him. And that is because of some of the narrations that were mentioned again earlier on in the dars, and from them the statement of Ibn Sirin that verily this ilm is the deen. So you should look towards where you take your deen from. So you shouldn't take from the people of bid'ah. He said because as it is a must that the talib or the student is going to be affected by his sheikh, even if his sheikh is not a caller to his bid'ah, he as a talib or a student is going to be affected by his sheikh. So the person who is not a bid'ah, the mubtadi', who is not a bid'ah, should not be taken, ilm should not be taken from him, but he should be an individual who should be advised and warned by the ulama, and taught and explained the manhaj al-salaf to him. And as for the other person, then he should be warned against. He should be warned against the person who is a caller.
لكن هناك نقطة أخرى أنبه عليها أن هذا المبتدع قد لا يسوء، قد بعض العلماء يجيز أخذ العلم عنه، لكن بشرطين. الشرط الأول أن لا يوجد هذا العلم إلا عنده، لا يوجد هناك عالم سني يؤخذ عنه العلم. فإذا كان العلم هذا العلم لا يوجد إلا عند هذا المبتدع، هذه النقطة. الأمر الثاني أن تكون قد حصنت بالعقيدة، أن تكون قد حصنت بالعقيدة. فهذان شرطان يضعهم بعض أهل العلم في جواز الأخذ عن المبتدع العلم، والله أعلم.
So the Shaykh wanted to mention that there is another point that he wants to draw our attention to, and that is that the mubtadi', the ulama, may have seen it permissible for an individual to take from the mubtadi', but they have done this with two conditions. He said firstly that the individual possesses ilm that cannot be found with anyone other than him, that the individual possesses ilm which cannot be found with anyone other than him, and secondly that the individual who takes his ilm from him has become, is well grounded in the Aqeedah. He's well grounded in the Aqeedah, not just any old regular brother, but rather an individual who's well grounded in the Aqeedah. And this ilm cannot be found in any of the ulama of Sunnah other than him. He's only this person who possesses this particular type of ilm. So with these two conditions, ilm can be taken from the Mubtadi. Other than that, then it's not permissible. Question is, what is the ruling concerning the salah of a woman with the imam, knowing that the men and the women are in two different places, and there is a wall that separates them, and they are not able to see the imam? He's asking, is it permissible to establish this type of salah because seeing that we don't see the imam?
الجواب إذا كان يجمعهم مسجد واحد فلا شك في جواز هذه الصلاة.
The Sheikh is saying that the answer is that if men and the women are gathered together in one masjid, then there is no doubt of the permissibility of this type of salah.
Allahu ala.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhwan, if we could just hold on a minute so you know what is actually going on, because then usually we get people at the door knocking and everyone saying, what's happening next, what's happening next. So if you can just wait 2 minutes and I'll explain, inshallah. We've decided, because of the long nature of this lecture, that the next lecture by Sheikh Muhammad is going to be moved back until after Asr, Salatul Asr, because you haven't had an extensive break. That will give you enough time to get fed and watered and relax, inshallah. Thereafter, the lecture will begin. Can I impress upon you to attend this lecture concerning the speech of Allah, the importance of the Quran? Because as we are seeing, as we are knowing, that many, many, while saying that we are holding to this rope and calling to Allah, are not foremost in our preservation, our memorization, our attention to the Quran. And I think this talk by one who is an authority in this, inshallah ta'ala, should be listened to. So please not let it be that we hear the Sheikh Muhammad talking about the speech of Allah, and through the window on the street we hear the kalam of the Amatun Nas. I urge everyone to be there for the lecture, and again, for those who are attending the counselling, if they can meet in about half an hour outside, and we will move off to the place where that will take place. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Salatul Asr will be at 5:45. Adhan 5:30. Assalamu alaikum.